It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 7:06, hour number two, Built for Tough Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. A lot on the Mets in hour number one, understandably so, with the outstanding pitching performance from Nolan McLain last night. A couple of minutes on the Yankees, though, which we've done very little on them this week. And you know what? You're playing the Nationals. They're doing what they have to do. This would be my question. So, obviously, they have the long inning yesterday. They score 9 runs, whatever the hell it is. They win by a lot. They beat them. They just crushed the Nationals. That third inning was crazy. So here would be my question. So Anthony Volpe, we know, is struggling.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a day where everybody's hitting. I mean, they were running. I know he made the 2 outs the 1 inning. Fine. But Aaron Judge hits a home run. They score 11 runs with Giancarlo Stanton red hot sitting. You get the good start from Free. Like, everything is good. And yet, the amount of Yankee talk I hear surrounding Anthony Volpe a day after they complete a sweep and everything went well, to me, is amazing. The fact that he got booed at the end of that third inning where the team just put up 9 runs. He hits a laser of a line drive in the first inning right at the guy. Okay, fine. You know, the Phillies cheered Trey Turner to get him turned around. The Met fans cheered Francisco Lindor. And I understand this has been a horrible season for him in a lot of ways. But I also know he's 24. He's your guy. He came up through the system. He's from the area. Do we need to boo the kid in the third inning of a game where you just scored 9 runs and blew the doors off the net? Like, there's a time and a place. I don't know. I thought that was a bit much yesterday.
No, I thought it felt like overkill. And it's especially for a guy who you know is doing, and we kind of talked about this the other day, you anticipate and expect, you know, he's doing everything he can behind the curtain to just get back on neutral, right? You know, it's rough because when I heard the boos, and I just kind of like, whatever, that's just Yankee Stadium. But now, in a way, in reference to how you put it, it feels like because he's been the poster boy for all the Yankees' woes prior to these last couple games, like, I don't know if there's a way out. Like, I actually thought that...
Well, hit. I mean, the only way out is to hit.
Yes, but I also thought, in my train of thought, I thought the day off was, like, good.
Mm-hmm.
You're protecting him in a way. You know what I mean? Like, you're saving him from everything he has to read or talked about. And then his performance yesterday, in the fashion, the way the Yankees dominated, I was really hoping he got something going, right? Just to kind of like, all right, he's out of this rut. It didn't happen. But it's hard to tell Yankee fans when or not, you know, when to boo and when not to boo. You know, it's not going to happen.
And I'm not telling, they can do what they want. They booed Derek Jeter. I'm sure they booed Mickey Mantle back in the day. I understand all that. My point is time and place. It's 11-1.
Yep.
Your offense was just basically on the field for an hour. It was unbelievable. Yeah. You had a pitching change. The other guy comes in, he's walking the ballpark. You get home
and
runs.
I forget the pitcher's name. He had the bat. Because the catcher got hurt for the Nats.
With the catcher's interference.
Right.
So,
I'm not trying to be a hardo. I saw the bat hit the glove.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like he took his hand off.
No, but I think you dismiss the velocity of the swing and where the, you know, I know what you're saying. I think it's...
I watched it twice. I know. It wasn't like he took a hard chop at it. Like, he just followed through the swing. It hit his glove, hit the thumb part of it. And I'm saying to myself,
but that's it.
That's it. Like,
that's it. It hit the thumb part. Like, it still hurts. He could have stayed out there. I get it.
I've seen guys dislocate their leg, pop back in place, and finish a game. Like, I've seen things.
It's a different sport, Willie.
I get that. But
I've also seen guys take a puck to the face, get stitched up, and go back out there.
But, Jerry, we're like, this is the pros, right?
Have you not watched Giancarlo Stanton the last 7 years?
Yes, I get that. Limitations.
I mean, a lot of these guys, and you know, people will
say,
some of
this stuff just seems like,
I agree with you. I think it's a lot of these guys can fight through, and years prior,
but I said
something
about basketball. When I see some of these dumb injuries in basketball, I'm just like, dude, like, damn the money. Your dad's watching.
Right, we got to talk about Luka at some. I'm going to write this down because we've got to talk about Luka Doncic at some point.
Based on what I'm saying,
yes,
at some point. I remember growing up and being terrified to getting hurt in front of my dad. Because I felt like I was going to disappoint him. Like, I was going to be less in his eyes. And I couldn't be...
Like, coming out of the game because you were hurt?
No, not that, or just, like, in the playground. You know what I mean? Like, if I fell or ran, like, did something crazy, I just felt like if my dad saw this, he's going to be like, you're not the warrior I'm raising. You know what I mean? I just had that. So when I see pros get hurt from nonsense. It's just like your dad's watching. So that's my connection to it. And I get some injuries happen that we just don't know about. So maybe he's battling something. I get all that. But some stuff I'm just like, come on now, bro. Get back in the game. Like, let's.
I get it.
No.
I understand.
Like, so that was a moment I was just like, and then I saw the picture up there. He's like, I should not be here right now. Like, but he had the bat.
They look like the Nationals yesterday look like the Washington Generals to the Globetrotters yesterday. Yeah, what it felt like.
They look like they stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. They look like
they want to get the hell out of here.
100%. The whole, you looked at the bullpen, they were just like, dude, let's. However we can wrap this up, let's get the hell out of time.
And then, you know, it's funny how things work because you were talking about, either it was yesterday or Tuesday, I don't remember it, but, you know, you want to see the progress. You want to see the work to, you know, change maybe the mindset of the fans. At least you know they're putting that work in. Susan, when I was driving back from Long Island, she was telling a story yesterday about Ben Rice. Mm. And how
he's been playing
how
well.
Good the swing looks. Yeah. And she said, I don't think she specified the actual night or the game, but she had mentioned a game prior, one of the night games prior, that when she was leaving the ballpark, midnight, Ben Rice was in the tunnel working on his swing.
Look at that.
At midnight, on a day where you figure a 7 o'clock game, he's probably there by 2:30, and he wasn't happy with his swings, and for an hour after the game, it's just rep after rep after rep.
But that, see, that goes back to what we were talking about. If that gets reported and that's Volpe in the tunnel, we now come back and say, well, the kid's he's in the dumpster, but he's fighting, right? Like, we kind of take the bite off him a little bit. And then I think you made a good point. That's a PR thing, right? If he's a homegrown kid, we know a 24-year-old kid who's really trying to figure it out. The team is starting to come together. If I'm Boone, I'm like, hey, man, if you see this guy out there working extra while everybody else is kind of heading toward the parking lot, maybe this helps him in some type of way. Maybe those boos don't happen yesterday, as you mentioned. Because he did rip one to third. It was just an out.
Yeah.
Right?
So. And even the line drive, I mean, it wasn't exactly the hardest line drive, but you got to hit him where they ain't. I mean, he hit a couple of balls yesterday. You know, you watched the Met game, and they had a lot of, you know, even the night before, you know, a lot of ground balls that find holes. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the greatest swing in the world, but you find a spot where
just get it in play.
Even the game winner the other night that the Mets had.
Right.
You got a drawn in infield and the ball is poked the other way. If they're playing normal depth, it's an out. But because of the circumstance, it wasn't. Baseball's a funny game. You know, I know it's been a bad season. I also know the power numbers have been there for him and he's been streaky. I would never tell you not to boo. Go for it. I just thought yesterday was not the time.
I agree. I agree with you.
And especially you're finishing off a sweep. You feel, you know, and think about this too. The sweep started with as bad as those first three games were with Boston, and they were. They did a nice job Sunday avoiding that sweep. You come back with three straight like you were supposed to do. You have some, word of the day, momentum again. I don't know. Just kind of enjoy it. Maybe getting out to Chicago will be the best thing for him to get away from the home crowd for a little while.
I agree.
So, but all overall, though, you know, it's funny. I was out there with Sal yesterday, and I got to him. I got there around noon. And as we got there, we got the Yankee lineup. And maybe even a little before that, Sal was talking about it. And my first thought was, I think, just like a lot of people, like, why is Giancarlo Stanton sitting when he is just red hot, like scorching right now?
Especially the other night when he kind of hinted, like, let me out. Like, let me go.
Yeah.
Right? And Boone
and was talking about feeling better because he's playing the
100%.
Field.
100%. So when I saw Bellinger and Wright, I was just like, I thought the same thing. I'm like, Big G's hot right now. Why is he? Let him rip. Especially, I think, from a ball player standpoint, like, you know, nobody knows your body like you. You know when you're kind of either pushing through or you're in a good spot. After the performance he had the other night, it seemed like his confidence. It seemed like he's like, no,
he's there.
Yeah, he's there. Like he's in a groove. So I don't know if that's something he should have tugged on Boone's shoulder or on pants. I'm like, hey man,
two things there. Number one, we don't know how he was feeling. Maybe after a couple of days in the field, maybe he needed a day. I don't know.
Yep.
We don't know that. We also can't complain when the team puts up 11 runs. Yeah. Like, had they gone out yesterday, even though they won the series, had they gone out and lost the game, let's say 4-2, when the offense was kind of feeble, and you're sitting this guy, you got a case. They sit him, kind of complaining, and then they go out and
they
do that.
They go crazy, yeah. I got you.
And good to see Judge with the back-to-back home runs with Bellinger, but good to see Judge kind of, you know, get back a little bit too, because if he gets going, could you imagine how scary this lineup would be if you've got him and Stanton hitting at the same. We talk about the Mets all the time.
Yep.
If those two are hitting at the same time, I mean, what do you do if you're an opposing pitcher?
I mean, it was a stat that popped off the that I heard yesterday. I think our outfield, they all over 25 home runs. I think Bellinger has 25.
Yeah, probably.
Judge is up there.
Grisham,
yeah, they're all.
That makes sense. They hit a lot of home runs.
It looked crazy.
What is it, four in the one inning?
It looked like a video game yesterday. At some point, I was like, this feels like abuse.
That is what they are capable of.
Yeah.
And so we saw it yesterday. Fun to watch. Yankees complete the sweep, and the Mets do the same as well with the Phillies. When we come back, we'll get CeeLo in again.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
725, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number. We will get into some football coming up next hour, as well as you've got rumors flying all over the league. And, of course, Tommy DeVito, we know, is now in New England. We'll get to that in a little while. But right now, we turn our attention to Chris Lopresti. What's up, Chris?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So Evan Roberts is certainly feeling the Nolan McClain fever. Last night, after his big-time performance, he says on X, what if McClain is so dominant in less than 50 innings pitched that he wins Rookie of the Year and keeps his rookie status for next year? Could he win it in back-to-back seasons? So I already got him potentially winning back-to-back.
I mean, I thought it was nuts when I was talking to Willie about him possibly being in their postseason rotation. I thought that was putting the cart before the horse. That's a bit much.
Yes, it is. But he did
he's giddy.
Say this after McClain. He is giddy. Turned in 8 shutout innings last night on 4 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts, 95 pitches. So the Mets would eventually finish off a successful 3 nights at Citi Field.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a high pop-up. That should do it. Shallow right field. Backpedaling McNeil. He's under it. Makes the catch. Put it in the books. The Mets are back in the hunt. They have swept the 3-game series from the first place Philadelphia Phillies.
Howie Rose, final call.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Mets Radio. Hi, Howie. 6-0 final. Their 10th straight home win over the Phils, including last postseason. Now within 4 of first place atop the NL East. And for McClain, first pitcher in franchise history to win his first 3 big league starts. And he's done it with an ERA of 0.89.
I mean, I've always been a believer in my stuff. I'm a confident guy. Obviously, the hitters here are the best in the world, and I know that. But I also know, like, I have good stuff, and if I go out there and execute, I can get a lot of guys
think
out
about
as well.
The baseball this kid's had in his life.
Yeah.
He's probably dominated at every level, and now it's only 3 games. But, I mean, the year he's had in the minors is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And now what he's done at the major league level, man, it's a lot of winning, I would
facing
think.
Facing some good teams, some good lineups that have some good hitters. So he is showing that to be the case. Efficient as well, pitching deeper and deeper into games with each passing start. And you mix that in with an efficient offense now that's heating up, especially one guy in particular who homered and drove in 3 last night. He's now got a 10-game hitting streak for manager Carlos Mendoza.
Vientos, you know, continues to put together some really good at-bats. We're seeing that version that we saw a lot last year. And, you know, that's a game changer there when you have that type of bat behind Alonso, Soto, Lindor, and all of them are clicking.
And we talked last hour, runners and scoring position numbers in this series off the charts. So all of a sudden, all things are well with the Mets for the moment.
And I like they showed the replay of his line drive up the middle, which I meant to
did
make
you see
a note of.
Walker on it.
Taiwan Walker. He puts his bare hand up.
Yeah.
Dude. And I know it's reaction, but
not a great
smart.
Idea.
Not
no.
smart.
No. Well, it all adds up to a sweep and continued home dominance of Philly. It's got to be in their heads at this point. Certainly seems to be the case for some media types down in the city of brotherly love. I have no idea who this guy is, to be quite honest with you, or what, if any, kind of following he has. But this was making the rounds on social media yesterday off of the Tuesday night loss when the Mets rallied against closer Joan Duran, right?
Okay.
So we once had Jerry rather famously accuse Al Dukes of being a...
Fraud! Fraud!
Right, we all know that. We relived that. I think it was yesterday, right? They were showing the clip
did.
Of it.
Yes.
Now I present to you, this is something called Sports Talk with Broads, getting after his hometown Phil. Yeah, so he wasn't thrilled with their performance or that of the offense and their lack of discipline against Tyler Rogers earlier in that game either.
Seventh inning may have been the worst inning in the history of baseball. Him and Kyle, they each see a pitch. That would be one f***ing pitch. One f***ing pitch each.
Yeah, and lastly, getting after Bryce Harper a bit, who recently donned Mets batting gloves in honor of the division rivalry.
The shame you didn't have on your rivalry pack, which is the biggest clown show in the history of baseball! This team may be the biggest bunch of frauds in baseball.
Fraud! Fraud!
There you go, Jer.
This is a cross between Chris Farley and Frank the Tank.
Or Sam Kinison.
Right, yeah, I was thinking this is like the Phillies version of Frank the Tank with the yelling and the screaming and the cursing. So I said, I don't know much about this guy. Go ahead, Fleegs. You looked him up. So
apparently, Hunter Brody on X says he founded this Broads Media, which obviously is named after himself, and he's a fill-in WIP host.
Is
currently
really?
Hosting the afternoon show, so that would be filling in for Spike on Friday.
Good for him. Very good.
So this is Spike's next man up, I guess. When he's
there are definitely people that you can find on social media that are talented. It's a different way to get into the business, but there are people out there for sure.
I guess this guy does nights
than ever too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now there are for sure.
We have former employee here, Colton Gesser, who's he's texting me. So apparently this guy does nights on IP down there. So,
oh, like full time?
I guess, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, so he's a guy. He's just not some wacky.
I mean, he sounds kind of wacky to me.
Yeah, but I think if Fliegelman said he founded his own company, my guess is he probably did that first and then ended up on IP through there, I think.
I like that the boo even and the first one has that Philly.
Did he do this at home? Was he at home doing this?
That's why I didn't know. Yeah, it looked like it was like a home studio. So maybe this was not on IP. I don't know.
His wife was like, not again.
Yeah. Please. Maybe it was on IP. He was hosting from home. I don't know what they do down there.
You know who's have you heard the name Marshall Green on social media?
No.
So he does, I don't know what company it's for, but he's on YouTube. I think he's I mean, he's a complete homer when he does what he's doing, and that's, I think, the appeal to him.
Yeah.
But he will talk you through Nick games and Giant games, I believe. I don't know if he does baseball or not. Very entertaining.
Talk you through it, like, while it's happening? Like, you watch the game with him?
Yeah, borderline play-by-play.
Okay.
But
the live stream while the game's happening.
Yeah, and they got the live score up, so and he's reacting. Clearly, he is. He hates the opponent,
right?
And he is a huge Nick, and I think Giants. I've seen him with the Knicks do it.
Okay.
He's very good at it, but it's also, you know, what side he's coming from.
Sure,
well, and it's kind of like that.
I'm sure that's appealing to.
And I don't
people,
mean he's killing them.
Bases.
I'm saying like he's really into it.
Yeah, fanatical.
Yes,
not impartial,
but good at it too.
Sure. Anyway, Mets sweep, and now they get set for four against the Marlins. Clay Holmes on the mound for tonight's opener, 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Mets open up a 4.5-game lead over the Reds in the wild card race as the Dodgers completed a sweep of Cincinnati behind 5 innings of 1-run ball and 9 strikeouts from Shohei Ohtani in what was his longest outing since returning to a big league mound.
Yeah, I was talking to Sal yesterday about, you know, where the Mets are and, you know, the division. Is the division in play? It's not like. What you just said right there is the perfect example of why you can't give up on anything too soon. The Reds and the Mets have just had this crazy separation in the last 3 days.
3 days, yeah.
Like it happens
it was one
that
and a
quickly.
Half, now it's 4.5.
And you still got
another
5 weeks of baseball, for God's sake. There's a lot going on still.
Very true. To the Bronx now, and we can kind of take our pick for thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell Infusion. We'll go with Cody Bellinger here.
3-0 Yankees. Here's Bellinger. He swings and drives one deep to right center field. Headed for the 385 mark. Say goodbye. It hits the wall, the back wall of the bullpen of the Yankees, and it's 4-0 New York.
Dave Zimmes, hey now, here on The Fan. 25th homer of the year for Bellinger, who went 3-for-4 plus a walk. He got the start in right field. He later shifted over to center, and he is our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. So the Yankees go deep 6 times on the day. You had Bellinger, Judge, Grisham, Rice, McMahon, and Wells. They plated 9 runs in the third inning alone on their way to an 11-2 win of the Nationals to complete the 3-game sweep of Washington. Max Fried, 7 innings of 1-run ball for his 14th win, despite that lengthy delay with the Yanks batting around in the third. It was, I believe, 41 minutes officially, as Willie said last hour, and it certainly had Aaron Boone's attention.
Yeah, and that was the one little bit of a concern, and obviously when the catcher had to leave, you know, that delayed it even more. So, you know, he did some light throwing, you know, just under in the cage just to you know, kind of keep warm and made sure he got out there quick.
So I was wrong about that. He did do a little bit of throwing underneath. I figured he wouldn't have, but he did. So there you go. Worked out well. Four straight for the Yanks overall. And they're now off to Chicago for four against the White Sox tonight. Will Warren opposed by Davis Martin. We've got coverage at 7 p.m. on WFAN AM on the FM dial. You got Rutgers football and their home opener against Ohio. 5:30 coverage on the FM side. You can get both games on the free Odyssey app as well. You guys brought up the, you were watching last night, you said the Taylor Townsend verbal altercation with Yelena Ostapenko after winning her second round match at the U.S. Open. So Ostapenko not thrilled with Townsend as they came together to shake hands after the match. And here was Townsend during her post-match presser.
She told me that I have no education, no class, and to see what happens if we play each other outside of the U.S. And I said, you know, I'm excited. Bring it.
So it was kind of a briefly funny moment when she did the on-court interview on, I don't know if it was ESPN or whatever, and she mentioned that same thing about the outside the U.S. She's like, well, I've beaten her in Canada, that's outside the U.S., and I've beat her in New York, that's outside the U.S. I think she meant to say one was outside, one was in, I can beat her wherever.
Yes.
But she cleaned that it sounds up funny. There for the post-match press conference. Did she feel the comments from Ostapenko had any racial undertones?
I can't speak on how she felt about it. That's something that you're going to have to ask her. I didn't take it in that way. But also, you know, that has been a stigma in our community of, you know, being non-educated and all the things when it's the furthest thing from the truth.
And then lastly here, she kind of goes for the mic drop. And I thought certainly took the high road. But also, hey, I'm a competitor and I won the match.
The thing that I'm the most proud of is that I let my racket talk. Because ultimately, I'm the one here sitting in front of you guys, moving on to the next round, getting the next check. Moving on, being able to still be here and speak to you guys. And that's what's the most important. She's packed up and she's gone.
She's taking her ass
I'm
home.
Here.
Right, yeah. That's right. Exactly.
Exactly. And I know Ostapenko posted some stuff on social media.
Yeah, Willie
media,
said the replies
guys,
were not good.
I'm sure they weren't.
No. Yeah. But Cecilia, quickly, just for clarification, what was the exact problem? What was her beef? I know something about a warm-up.
Yeah, the net, the rope. I don't know exactly. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Even in
unwritten rules.
When they shake hands, Ostapenko touches the net. She's like pointing at the net. And I'm just like, what about it? Like,
yeah. I honestly, Townsend seemed a little kind of caught off guard and surprised herself. Like, I don't essentially know what you're talking about here. So trying to find the part of, let's see here. Her social media stuff was just a little all
nuts.
Over the map.
People, I mean, the reply she put out for what happened, the discourse that she had with Townsend, and then the backlash. I think thought Ostapenko in the blender. She was like, well, I'm upset I lost. I get it, but I'm not racist.
Like you said, it didn't go the way she thought it was going to go.
Correct. And I appreciate Towson also saying, like, I can't speak for her, but I won. I let my racket talk, and that's all that matters. So
you had the warm-up stuff, which she wasn't thrilled about. She also wrote in her post that Townsend was, quote, disrespectful for not saying sorry after being helped by a net cord during a point. So
why
I don't know.
Sorry.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. There seems to be something that's
okay.
Kind of lost in translation here a little bit.
She gone, as they
yes,
say.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. A couple of NFL notes for you here. So as Al would say, media note or adjacent, the NFL with a little bit of a change, clarification on Tom Brady for this year. Of course, Fox's lead game analyst. He will be allowed to take part in production meetings with coaches and teams, but still no practice attendance for him. So a little bit of a change from the dynamic last year.
So he'll be able to interview, have the conversation, just can't be on the field.
Can't
basically.
Go out to practice. Yeah. Okay. So as I said to Fliegelman this morning, I mean, I'm sure Burkhardt can kind of bring him up to speed on what he saw at practice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, you know, not for anything. I mean, I know we made a big deal about this last year. At the end of the day, he's there to be Tom Brady, and he's there to explain what we're watching. I mean, the stories are nice and all, but to me, it's not the end-all, be-all for what his job is supposed to be. I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't, anyway.
That he's not at practice?
No.
I don't think so.
But I know some guys, in reference to preparing for the week, they like being at practice rather than being on a call
for
because
sure.
They feel like, yeah, you can hear all this stuff, but it's different, especially if you're a guy of his expertise. You know what you're looking at.
I agree.
So,
but I also think he can do the job just fine by not attending one practice.
Yeah,
you know, throughout the course of the week, and especially if he's going to get to talk to the coaches.
Right,
he will certainly get the information.
And I'm sure it depends on which matchup and which teams he's meeting with. Some might be more revealing than others when you consider his attachment to the Raiders and their ownership group. So, I mean, that's part of it as well.
And as the Raiders get better, that could become a thing, too. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. What was the other NFL note you had?
Jason, we talked about it at the end of the warm-up show very briefly that, not NFL, but football-related, Jordan Hudson, who's running the Bill Belichick company here, that they filed to trademark the term gold digger, along with like 17 others that are, you know, Belichick coaching things. So that with the gold digger, the couple intends to use the mark on jewelry and keychains, apparently. So they're going to now incentivize their age gap situation here as he gets set to...
God, I wish you could get a time machine and go back 10 years and ask Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And you'd be doing gold digger jewelry in your life at the age of 70-something and coaching a college football team with a girlfriend that's younger than your granddaughter.
And just for clarification, they're just boyfriend and girlfriend.
For now, yeah.
As far as I know.
But she's very involved in the business ventures here. And I didn't realize this. So she's got this portfolio, I guess, through this management company. She bought three
houses.
That
was a story about 6 months ago.
She's got a real estate holdings of like $8 million.
Yeah.
So
no, this was a story like somewhere in the summer.
Yeah, I see it's referenced here. I just wasn't aware and that this was all happening under the umbrella with Belichick here.
For clarification, Steve in Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, boys.
Morning.
So there's an unwritten rule. There's an unwritten rule in tennis when you're playing a point and the ball hits the net cord and drops over. There's kind of like a sportsmanship rule where you raise your hand up and you're like, hey, sorry, I got that point that way. So what was happening is the girl was arguing with the American, like, you show no class by raising your hand up. And that was the little issue they were having at the end. She was just being a little sore loser and giving the winner a hard time, in my opinion.
All right, Steve, I appreciate it. I mean, listen, there are things, if you don't watch baseball, you would be like, that's nonsensical. So I guess if you're big into tennis, and that's an unreal.
Every sport has.
And I've never heard that before.
Golf has some, for sure.
But if that's what it was. But I do agree with your point and his point. Sore loser. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in any event.
In any event.
I'll bring you next hour some of the Dawn Staley talking interviewing for the Knicks head coaching job, which is kind of interesting, and some other things to get through throughout the course of the morning.
We will see you next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Another gorgeous day in New York. Bill Ford, Tough Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. A couple of things here. I'm going to get to Rascona in a second just because of his Ryder Cup dealings. You were curious about that
in
1 second. So yesterday, I left here and I hightailed it out to the Salt Shack out in Babylon. And that's where Sal was doing the show live from. I got to tell you, just an unbelievable place. I mean, it was really nice right there on the water. And I actually texted my wife as I got to the place. I said, I know we're Jersey Shore people and have been my whole life. So why would I go to the Long Island beaches? It doesn't make any sense when I've got LBI or, you know, Point Pleasant or Manasquan or wherever. But having gone out there on a day like yesterday and seeing that place was eye-opening. So just gorgeous, really nice place. So I do the half hour with Sal. We hang out. I come back into the city, and I stayed in the city because we went to see Lady Gaga last night. And I will tell you, the show, you know how... when musical acts get old, sometimes there's not much activity on the stage.
Yeah.
And they just kind of sing and they just stand there and they sing or they move a little bit and they sing. This was more of a theatrical performance.
Well, that's kind of her brand.
No, I know, but this is the first time I've seen this.
Oh, gotcha.
So I've seen good shows. This felt like almost a Broadway production.
Hmm.
And it was pretty good. So the review I would give it would be like 5 stars. I mean, it was that good. If you like that.
So I know Pink gets a lot of credit for her,
amazing
for her being like a damn near trapeze artist. Like she's always flying, and this guy was
tremendous energy for 2 hours.
Right.
So So I actually posted on social media like this was as good as that, if not even better.
Did he get racy at all? Like she can be a little.
Yeah, I mean, she's throwing F-bombs all over the place, right. And she dresses interestingly. She did one song in a coffin. That was odd.
In a coffin?
Yeah.
Sang the whole song in a coffin?
Yeah, lying down in a coffin.
Did people sing to it? Like, I don't know how you clap for somebody.
Oh, no, people clapped. People clapped. I will tell you, the amount of... So I had two things that were a little interesting. The amount of people that showed up to the concert in their underwear.
What do you mean, like bloomers?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like
Hanes underwear? Like boxer briefs?
Yeah, black underwear.
Women in thongs? Thongs, excuse me, thongs.
No, not thongs. Okay. No. So when I was getting set to go in, a guy walked by me. I took a double take. He had a half shirt on and just black underwear on.
That's it?
Full legs, hair.
Well, I noticed a thing.
It was interesting.
So I know it's been a kind of a theme amongst artists. So like if you, for those who pay attention to Beyonce, she has a cowboy Carter. Mm-hmm. A lot of women who show up to her show up in cowboy outfits.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people showed up like they were Lady Gaga last night, including the men.
Really?
Yes, it was some sight. So he dressed the way you want to dress. I don't care. There was one girl that walked in. She had like a fishnet shirt on with a very small bra underneath.
So it just showed the whole kitchen.
They're just out there.
Yeah.
She had like pasties on.
Nice. Good for her.
I mean, it was. And then there was one other. I did think of you because I thought this was funny. So I had a drink at the restaurant next door.
Uh-huh.
I get the Uber to go uptown, and the traffic was crazy. So I stopped, I don't even know, 15 blocks. I don't even know where I was, but I was well shy of the Garden. But I had plenty of time before I was going to meet my friends. So I'm like, I'll stop here. I'll grab a drink. What the hell? So I go in. I sit down. I order the drink. I'm looking around. Like, there is not one woman in this bar. It's weird. I know it's happy hour, I guess, whatever. And then guy brings my drink, all is good. And then I notice as he moves away, the sign on the bar, big sign that said, Make America Gay Again.
Mm.
So I realized I was, right. Which is fine. I mean, it was whatever. But it was interesting. It was a very interesting night.
That happened to me once. I went to a spot and I was really hungry, me and a wife. It was like when we had we went to a gala or something and we were starving. And I was like, man, let's go into this pink taco spot. And they weren't happy that I was there. They were happy my wife was there. They wasn't happy that I was there. I went to the bar, and this lady looked at me. She looked like Paul Bart.
It's
called the pink taco. I swear, in the city. And this lady looked like Paul Bart. And I had to reach over her to get the menu. And she was just like, hey, big fella. And I was just like, hey, like, whatever. And I was sitting there and going through the menu. And I, like, look up. And I'm like, to your point, you kind of comb the crowd.
A little bit.
And I'm like, I stick out like a fly in a bowl of milk in there. Like, this isn't. I don't think I should be here. And then I look at my wife. Everybody's complimenting her earrings and her shoes.
And get out.
Right. And she's laughing. And she's like, you know, they started playing Lionel Richie. And she's dancing. And I'm sitting there like, I think this isn't where I should be, right? And my wife is like, no, this is amazing. I'm like, look around. And she's like, oh, my God. And so we ate, though.
We
still ate.
I had my drink. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I'm like looking around just like, where are the women? Not that I was looking to pick up a woman or anything. It was odd. So. Yeah. Very, very funny. And quickly, Rascona, so you're going to be at the Ryder Cup next month. Willie was asking about this the other day because I think CeeLo brought up the fact that you volunteered.
Yes.
Now, do you have your assignment?
I do.
So what are you doing?
I'm the shot link guy, so I got to run out and put the flag into the rough if they hit it off the, you know,
on one specific hole, or you follow a group?
One specific hole each day.
Yes. Oh, that's cool.
Now, do you sign up for what you would like to do, or they tell you what you must do?
They had a bunch that I could sign up from, and I picked that. I picked the shot link guy because I thought that would be the most entertaining. You know, you could do like... You could do concessions, which why would you want to? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, so I want to be on the course, so I picked Shotlink. So
that is really cool. So I had to do
like a tutorial the other day about it. So apparently, like, we're very important to the broadcast. So like where the ball goes to land, it's basically me running out and putting the flag where the ball lies is relaying back to the producers where the ball is, so they could actually, I guess, provide a better product to watch on TV.
Will that be, since you did the tutorial, let's just say you're on a par five or whatever. Is your job to be, let's say, 330 yards from the tee? You know, I'm using that as an example. And then you have to go up to the green to follow that too, or you stay in your spot for the tee shots?
I stay in my spot for the tee shots. Now, there's three spots on each hole that a shot link volunteer is responsible for. One is the tee box, the guy with the paddles. Have you ever seen the guy?
Yeah, of course.
Right, so that's one of them. Basically, the paddles will show the people out in the fairway where the golfer has hit the ball. So the paddles going straight would be down the fairway, right, left, blah, 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 blah. The second job is the one that I just described, being off the fairway, putting the flag where the ball lies in the rough or in the native area or, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
The green side is the net, is the last one. So you have three possible positions for shot link. Green side is the last position. Same,
interesting.
Same thing, same idea.
So if you get three balls in the fairway, you got nothing to do. It's just when they're errant, basically.
When they're in the sand, water hazard, which is no water at Bethpage, minimal, only on that one par three.
Right.
And then, in the rough or the native area. That's what I'm responsible for showing everybody. Yeah,
I'm excited. You're going to get some TV time.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So who has the best job? Like, what's the best... I guess to your point.
I think his is the most, I would say,
visual.
What's the right word? But I also think is a tougher job of those three, I would think.
Yes, it seems that way. When I had to do this tutorial the other day, I was like, wow, what am I getting myself into exactly?
Because
it's apparently a very important job. So
yeah,
I got to be on
so
my
too.
Toes. And
I wouldn't
know
have
known
it had anything to do with the TV crew, though.
Yeah, it's apparently all about the production that, you know, they bring to you guys as you're watching it on TV.
And you mentioned the concessions would probably be the worst. And
you can't see anything.
Yeah, you're not there. You're not going to be able to watch anything.
He's going to be, like, literally on the course with the golfers.
I'm on 16 on Friday, 18 on Saturday, and 15 on Sunday, I believe.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Anything you can't wear, like a fishnet shirt?
No, I just picked up my gear. I picked up my gear on Sunday, so I have a whole, like, volunteer uniform I have to wear.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you get gear out of it.
Yeah. It's not for free, though. I had to pay to volunteer.
Oh, see, that's...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, like...
I actually...
$350.
Really?
He's paying them.
I'm paying them.
And you're volunteering.
Right? And I'm excited.
It's a very good point.
You know,
I would be too.
I'd do it again.
I think it's very neat what you're doing, and
yeah,
I agree.
It's awesome.
Not like working concessions or, you know, the store. Like, you're out there. You're going to be like Bryson DeChambeau is going to walk right past you at some point.
And that's another question. Are you told not to talk to the golfers?
Yes.
Don't interact.
Do not interact with the golfers.
That makes sense.
The caddies you can interact with. The caddies.
Why does that make sense?
The golfer will pick up
because
the flag.
They're working.
Yeah,
100%. But if I'm a fan, like I imagine you are, and you're like, go, Bryson, go, are you going to get in trouble?
He's not a fan. He's doing his job.
Okay.
You can make yourself real famous for 15 minutes with a well-planned viral moment.
Oh, you could. There's no question about it. You'll never get to do it again, but you would go viral, especially
if it was
15 on Sunday and the deciding match.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I will not do that.
Hey, Rory, you suck.
At that point,
that
the $350 for the alpha would be worth it.
He probably would be.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
My thought process, going back to the payment real quick, I know we got to get to the break, but my thought process was if I was going to go to one of the tickets on the secondary market are going for like $1,100 a pop.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, this is the best way for me, the cheapest way for me to go to the Ryder Cup and enjoy it without
paying
an arm and a leg. Right. Exactly.
I understand.